Jason, what's up with these light green T-shirts? You see that?
No, we didn't get the memo.
I didn't get one. I'm talking about didn't get a shirt. Did you get a shirt? So welcome the ladies from the ladies' retreat. That's what that is. Yes. I know they're excited because the topic was? Yeah, one of those deep spiritual things, and we'll hear more, I'm sure. So great being here. Let's pray together as we begin our time of worship. Lord, thank you for this song and the music that is ever lifting our hearts to focus on you. Thank you for that, the message of this music. Thank you for each one who's here today. We thank you for the ladies who are able to be a part of this retreat that can touch and change lives. Help all of us to gather the excitement that we hear here today. Lord, we love you. We give this time to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Great singing, I'll tell you what. I missed Kevin's voice singing out here today. Jason, you didn't? They turned your mic off. I noticed they turned his mic off. Pray for Kevin and Libby. They've been a little sick this week, and so he contacted me earlier this week, said, John, if you can share on Sunday, that'd be good. I said, I've got a two-minute message, so everybody will be happy. People are shaking their head. But we're going to keep it simple. How about that? Youth pastor gets up to preach. Everybody goes, oh, boy, what's going to happen now, right? So we're going to talk about, you see it up here, living a significant life. And we're going to nail it down to like three things. We're going to try to make it simple so I can understand it, all right? And significant. Now, I did a little thing here. Somebody on Facebook, they have these pages about clean, cheesy jokes. I'm sure Charles isn't part of that group. But Charles, I am. And one of the things I read in there, and I'm going to tie this in later on, so kind of hold on to this. At some point, we came up with this phrase of significant other. You know, that's kind of an unusual phrase, but now we've kind of accepted that. And what does that really mean? Well, when you're going in to buy a house, buy a car, and one person can't afford it, the other one will sign if I can't. That's significant. So now we're going to come back to that. Don't forget that. I know you'll want to, but don't hang on to that just a little bit. I think do we have a photo getting ready? Is Jonathan nearby? Where is Jonathan? He's in the back. There he is. You guys know Jonathan is a great runner. I mean, he's Disney Marathon, right? How many weeks ago was that? 5 weeks ago. He's still able to walk and get around, so he's with us. And Jonathan, we searched high and low to find a picture of the folks who came in right in front of you in that marathon, and it was really hard to find, but we searched. I don't know if everybody see that, but no, thank you, Jonathan, for playing along with that. The lady on the right, on their left, but our right, was 103 years old. And set some records running and so forth. So really a neat little story that leads us into this. A survey was done, and some of you have heard me talk about this before because it's so, here's the word, significant. A survey of 50 95-year-old folks, 95 plus, and they were asked a very simple question. 95 years or older, they were asked, if you had your life to live over again, what would you do differently? 95 years and older, what would they say? Well, obviously, there are lots of answers, but three common themes jumped out at those who were giving this survey, and here they were. Number one, think deeper thoughts. Think deeper thoughts. Think, don't just skip across the top of the water. Go deep. Think deeper thoughts. As Christians, we must think deeply at times. Live strong, be active, get out and do things, but every once in a while just to stop and meditate and think deep thoughts. Number two, here's the part about action. Take more risks. Now, there are risks you don't want to take, and there are risks that you do want to take. I'll never forget, now I'm going to pause. I don't even have this in my notes. I'm going to say this, though. There was a group called Audio Adrenaline. Do you remember them? Anybody remember? These guys were way out. You know, when they first came out, they were like outside the box a little bit. What'd you say, Charles? They were like, and I was in a church in Tennessee that was very conservative. You know, it was a more traditional music. We had the organ and the piano and the choir, and I actually led the choir, so I knew all about it. So one of the youth came in one day and talked to me about, hey, let's get Audio Adrenaline to come and do a concert. And the pastor's sermon that week was taking more risks. So great time, right? I walked in his office, said, hey, what do you think about having Audio Adrenaline come as or take a risk? He said, well, there are reasonable risks. I don't think that was his reasonable list. But there are risks that we take for the kingdom of God. There are risks that we take to get out of our comfort zone. Great answer. Great answer. And finally, third one was, do things that will live on after I'm gone. That's living a life of significance. That's a legacy that carries on after we're gone, and that's what we're going to talk about here today. Really launching out of 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. And we'll hit those in a minute, but I want you to think about living a significant life. At the end of his life, Jesus said some great things. First of all, and he's praying and getting ready to go to the cross. What were some of the things he said? One of the things he said is in John 17, 4, he says this, having finished the work you gave me to do, I brought you glory on earth. What a great prayer. What a great thing to be able to say at the end of your life, the Lord, I brought glory to you. Not so much about us, but about him. I have, in between these two verses, I've written down some of the famous last words of people that we may or may not know, but what are some of the famous? There are people that actually write books on the last words that people say. You know, you may never think about, hopefully you don't have to prepare a statement before you die, but, you know, here we go. And this is, I know, Stevie, probably one of your heroes, Buddy Rich. Buddy Rich. Anybody know Buddy Rich? Yeah, a lot of hands. Good. Well, he died, apparently he died in surgery. So his last words were before he went into surgery. Here it is. The nurse said, or the doctor, anesthesiologist said, is there anything you can't take? And he said, yeah, country music. Last words, his last words. Bo Diddley, he just listened to a song called Walk Around Heaven, and his final word was, wow. I say another person who said, oh, wow, right before he died was Steve Jobs, the founder of Apple. Mo Berg, now there's a good name. He was a baseball player. His final words were, how did the Mets do today? Interesting question. But my favorite of all the ones that I looked at was Harriet Tubman. The last word she said before she died, swing low, sweet chariot. Isn't that great? I get chills thinking about that. Swing low, sweet chariot. Jesus on the cross, if you study the last words that he said, there's seven things he says on the cross. But probably the one that we will focus on here would be when he says on John 19, 30. And I'm going to do a couple of different versions. Jesus said, it's done, it's complete. And bowing his head, he offered up his spirit. In the King James, it simply says, it is finished. It's not saying, oh, no, it's done, it's all, we lost. He's saying, there's victory. It's been paid in full. Jesus said that as he died. Thinking of us, it is complete. I shared this with our small group the other day, and I'll tell you guys, that was when I first started out in youth ministry. I was working up in my home church in Michigan. It was a rough group, very, very rough group that we worked with. And I tell you, we had a kid that my brother worked with and got him to sing a solo. And he came in on Sunday. My small group's already smiling. They remember this story. He came in to sing. He had his microphone, and my brother's at the grand piano over here playing. And about two or three lines in, he messes up. Now, this kid obviously had some anger management problems. Because the next thing he does, he takes his microphone and throws it inside the piano. On the way out, he then leaves, walks out. We hear this loud crunch. He punches a hole in the wall as he goes past. That was my first youth group, Jason. It's gotten a little better. So here's the deal. That same group of kids, I made a fatal mistake, a flaw in my judgment, when I said we're going to have a lock-in at the church. So we're having a lock-in all night long. You know, it's like now the word lock-in to most youth ministers have been, it's like a curse word. You know, you don't want to say lock-in around. So we're having this lock-in. About 2 or 3 in the morning, the kids come and say, John, we want you to sit in the pew and we'll preach to you. Yeah, that's pretty cool. All right, let's keep it in the Bible, you know, as you preach. But, yeah, the same guy that threw the microphone into the piano gets up and he says this. When Jesus said it is finished, he was talking about the bridge to heaven. It is finished. And now we can cross over into heaven. Didn't that blow you away? I was like, 3 in the morning, I'm taking notes now. This is good. Well, let's talk about 1 Peter 5, 1 through 7. It says, I'm going to read it to you, and then we're going to talk about 3 ways that we can implement this. It says, I have a special concern for you, church leaders. I know what it's like to be a leader. And you don't have a copy of this. Just kind of hear this. I was in on Christ's sufferings, Peter speaking, as well as the coming glory. Here's my concern, that you care for God's flock with all the diligence of a shepherd. Not because you have to, because you want to please God. Not calculating what you can get out of it, but acting spontaneously. Not as a boss telling others what to do, but tenderly showing them the way. When God, who is the best shepherd of all, comes out in the open with his rule, he'll see that you've done it right and commend you lavishly. Likewise, younger people, submit yourself to the elders. Interesting. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. That should be pretty easy, actually. For he is mighty, that he may exalt you in due time, in his time. Casting all your care on him. Why? Because he cares for you. What a great passage. 3 things jump out. Number 1, these are all very simple. We're going to talk about start, stay, stop. Start serving. If you want to take that passage seriously, you would say, hey, what can I do right now to start serving God? What am I doing in my life to serve God? Matthew 23:11 says this, to be the greatest, be a servant. The world says you're great when others are serving you. But Jesus says the greatest person is the one who serves others. If you want to make a difference in this world, and I think we all do at some point, don't seek to impress with knowledge, strength, riches. Simply serve. Serve others. Well, there are 3 ways that kind of jump out about serving in this passage. Number 1, it says, choose desire over duty. I think there's a blank there in your outline. Choose desire over duty. What does that mean? 1 Peter 5:2, it says, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. You change your world of shoulds to a world and have-tos to a world of I want to and I get to. 4 words that will drag you and me down, if we say these, are if I have to, if I have to. Can you go on the ladies' retreat? If I have to. They want to. Look at it. Look at the joy in there. You going to church Sunday? If I have to. That will never make a difference in this world. You say, hey, I can't wait. I'm looking forward. Matter of fact, when I walk in, I'm looking forward to seeing the band up here and ready to practice some with them, the food in the back. Is that sermon on gluttony next week, Charles? Because that's going to come up several times. I'll go ahead. All kinds of neat to see the friendly faces. You see the folks. Our small group on Thursday. It's like, you going to small group Thursday? If I have to. No, it's like, let's go. I get messages each week. Man, I'm so sorry I can't be there today. Isn't that nice? Think about this. Christopher Columbus, commissioned by the Queen to go and discover new worlds. And he says, well, if I have to. Neil Armstrong, on the moon, in the lunar module. Neil, it's time to go out and place the first footprint on the moon, on the surface. Well, if I have to. Or what about this for you sports fan? Matthew Stafford in the huddle. He looks over at Cooper Kupp. Says, you go out, take a few steps to the right. I'm going to throw you the winning touchdown pass for the Super Bowl. And Cooper Kupp looks back and says, if I have to. It's not it. That's not the secret. That is not this. Or Esther or David or all the heroes of the Bible, they didn't say, if I have to. They said, when can we do it? When can we do it? For you and me, it's like invite somebody to church, help out in the nursery, be a greeter, bring some of the goodies in the back. Boy, they did it today. Share your talents. Go to a small group. Start a small group. Sing along and praise God. Come in and say, sing along with the band. Well, if I have to. Be consistent in your growth and walk with Christ. Take notes on the message, if I have to. No, do it because you want to. Change your have-tos to want-tos and ask God to give you a willing heart. Second one, choose giving over getting. Well, that's a tough one. Choose giving over getting. 1 Peter 5:2 says, not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Not greedy for money. And then looking over in Psalm 112 says, he gives generously to those in need. His deeds will never be forgotten. He shall have influence and honor. Those who give have a joy that's unbelievable. Now, we did something. I'm going to go back a little bit to start this story, but it's going to bring us into something that happened in our youth group recently. And I'll tell you this. We played Monopoly. Actually, we played it with Charleston, the roads here in Charleston, so you could purchase the College of Charleston, the Ravenel Bridge, Folly Beach. That was a popular one. So we're playing that, and we had some winners that came out, and I'll tell you about their prize in just a moment. But I was doing some premarital counseling with a couple. Here we go again with the gluttony thing, Charles. I apologize. We're at Gilligan's, and the guy's name, ironically, is Rich. His name is Rich, and he looks across the room, and he sees a man that has a Vietnam veteran hat. And he says to the waitress, that gentleman over there, bring me his bill. And I'm thinking, that is so cool. What a beautiful thing. Now, in this case, the guy figured it out, comes over and thanks him, you know. What a wonderful thing. Another thing happened like that. I was up in Myrtle Beach. This gluttony thing keeps coming up, Charles. I don't know. So I'm going to go to Krabby Mike's. Anybody been to Krabby Mike's? Somebody saying, yeah, from all you can eat, crab legs, prime rib. Oh, it's, what time is it? So I said, you know, I think I'm going to go. So the folks that are paying me to do this wedding, they say, we're going to give you about twice as much as we normally would, so we want you to take half of this and do something nice for somebody. I thought, well, I'll do something nice for myself. No, right? Wrong answer. So I go there. I'm sitting at this wonderful buffet, and it's not cheap. And I see a lady, and we get a little conversation. She's there with her parents from Baltimore. Talking about, hey, Pastor Kevin, he's from Baltimore. And I said, and so I told the waitress, I said, hey, bring me their bill if you would. And let's do it anonymously. I don't want them to know who did it. So there we go. That's kind of, it just gives you that joy. So take us back now to the Monopoly game. You ready? Monopoly, we have winners. And I said, guys, we're going to get you a $20 gift certificate from Domino's. You're going to have pizza. And they said, no, we want to go to Cracker Barrel. Bennett, is that right? That's correct. Yeah, just want to lay off. I'm telling the truth here, right? So we go to Cracker Barrel, and I had this thought. I said, you know what? It'll be really cool. I'm going to ask these guys to look around Cracker Barrel while we're eating and pick out somebody, and we're going to ask for their bill. And we're going to do this as a group. I didn't even think they were looking around much. You know, I thought they were eating. Matter of fact, by the way, these guys can eat. What do we have, two courses or three? It was a pretty good meal. I'll say that. Dessert was good. It was all good. So at some point, our friend Ryland looks across the entire restaurant all the way on the other side. And he said, John, there's an older couple over there, and the lady has a pink sweater on. I think that's the couple. That's the folks. And I said, all right. Told the waitress. She goes over, gets their bill, brings it to us. And then she comes over. And by the way, our waitress was phenomenal. Because I said, these guys won a little game in our youth group meeting, and they won this trip to come and do this. I said, would you like to guess what game it was? Bennett, what did she say? She guessed it. How in the world? I said, well, did one of you guys tell her? What's going on here? Monopoly. And then I said to her, hey, we're going to pray in a minute over our food. Would you like to share any prayer requests? She said, for my, I guess, life in general, she stayed and prayed with us. Then she went over, did that, got the bill, and the other waitress came and told us, and this was really good. I'm glad the guys heard this. They said when the little lady realized that someone else was paying for their meal anonymously, the lady broke down in tears. And I said, giving more than getting. There's a joy in giving you cannot explain. When you start giving, if you don't have joy in your life, do something nice for somebody. Don't tell them. Do it anonymously. Giving. And then the next one is choose being an example over being in control. I think the world needs that one too, don't we? Do not be like a ruler. This is 1 Peter 5:3. Do not be like a ruler over people you are responsible for, but be good examples to them. People want to follow positive, encouraging, joyful, and loving people. You want to know if you're a positive influence and leader? Look behind you. See if anybody's following. All right? Check and see. Somebody's watching. Somebody's watching. What are they seeing in our lives? It's not ordering people about, but simply being like Christ in our everyday life. The leaders and influencers here at Calvary Crossroads are not just Charles and Kevin and Jason or myself, but it's you. You are the folks who are the ministers and leaders. I want to give you a 30-second test. I want you to write down, you've got your paper there and a pen, 30 seconds. Anybody got a watch that's got a second hand? Who's got a good? Charles, you got it? So in 30 seconds, just raise your hand up. Let me know where. All right, ready? 30 seconds. Got your pen ready? Got your paper on your outline? Where? Write down the names of the titles of sermons that have changed your life. Go, titles of sermons that have changed your life. 30 seconds. Boy, the pens are flying. I noticed this one isn't being written down much so far. Countdown. Just keep writing. Keep writing. I know your arm's tired. All right. 4, 3, 2, 1. Boom. All right. We're live again. Okay. Anybody have 5 sermon titles written? Anybody have 4? 3? Here we go again. Anybody have 2 sermon titles written down? Does anybody have 1 sermon title? Thank you, Tim. Sandy? Very good. Charles, we feel a little better now, don't we? Charles had 10 of them written down. All right, 30 seconds again. You ready? 30 seconds. Second part of the test. Write down the names of people who have made a great impact on your life and changed your life. Names of people who have had an impact and changed your life. Go. Well, the pens are rolling. 10 seconds. I feel like I'm on a broadcast. Beep. All right, pen's up. All right, like Jeopardy. Should have played the Jeopardy tune, shouldn't it? All right, so how many of you had one name you wrote, at least one name that came to mind, you wrote it down? Oh, you're not just one, at least one. How many had at least one? Yes. Everybody. How many had at least two? Three, four, five. My goodness. Anybody got 10? 10. I'm telling you, now, I am not belittling sermons. Understand that. Sermons are important. Bible study is important. Small group Bible study, Sunday school class, that's important. But you know what's important as well, and maybe even more so as you go through your life, is touching the lives of other people. Being an example every day and showing love. It will change people's lives. Let's go to number two. Start serving, number one. Number two, stay humble. Stay humble. Let's look at these two verses in 1 Peter 5. God gives special blessings to those who are humble, but sets himself against those who are proud. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. And then Matthew 23:12 says, but those who think themselves great shall be disappointed and humbled, and those who humble themselves shall be exalted. Humility. You know, there is a pride that's good. To be proud to be a Christian or proud to be an American or whatever. There are a lot of things. Proud to be a part of this band and sing with these guys up here and ladies. Proud to be a part of this church family. But there's a pride that gets in the way of honoring and worshiping God. There's a pride that gets in the way of serving others, of thinking, I'm just too good for that. We should never think that way. Stay humble. Biblical humility is saying, God, I'm depending on you, and I need you every minute in my life. And if we humble ourselves like that, it says God will lift us up. Significance will come into our life because he will lift us up. The words that says in due time, that means it's in God's time. We want to be lifted up right now. Lord, take care of this. Get it all taken care of. I want to just have a great, you know, he says, sometimes we wait. Sometimes we wait on God's lifting us up. Abraham Lincoln, the War of Northern Aggression, as I heard yesterday, is, I'm from the North, by the way. I don't sound like it. Lincoln once got caught up in a situation where he wanted to move some troops around and please one of the politicians, and so he issued a command to transfer those regiments around, and his Secretary of War, Edwin Stanton, received the order and refused to do it. Wow. He even did this. He said to someone, the president is a fool. Now, you're saying that about Abraham Lincoln. How is Abraham Lincoln going to respond to that? Listen to this. Lincoln was told that Stanton said he was a fool, and he replied, if Stanton said I'm a fool, I must be, for he is nearly always right. I'll see for myself. He sat down with Stanton, and they talked, and the president quickly realized he was making a mistake, and his decision was reversed. President Lincoln was humble, probably one of our greatest presidents ever. Remain and stay humble. Philippians chapter 2, famous passage. We call it the kenosis passage. For those of you who are waiting for a Greek word today, here you are. Kenosis, it means to empty yourself.
empty himself. God left heaven and emptied himself of the powers that he had in heaven. And it says in Philippians chapter 2, and you can read this for yourself, those first few verses, he humbled himself even further, going so far as to actually die a criminal's death on the cross. Now, we have glorified the cross, which we should. It is a place, as we see right here, at Crossroads, Calvary, it's the place where we find salvation. But do you realize it was a place of execution? It would be, if we wore a cross back in the day of Jesus, it would be like us wearing an electric chair around our neck. And it would be, or like a gas chamber where I don't know where all the executions take place. But it's like, that's what the cross was, a place of execution. Jesus humbled himself, came and became a man, and died in the place of a horrible death. And that passage in Philippians chapter 2 was actually a hymn in the early church. And it says this, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. And therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor, gave him a name that is above all names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's the kenosis passage. Jesus emptying himself to save us, giving it all up so that he can bring us into his kingdom. Start serving. Stay humble. Here's the third one. Stop worrying. There's a good one. This morning as I got up, I was worrying about this message. No, I'm sorry. I was thinking about this message. And I realized, here's a great little quote for you. Warriors are not good warriors. You got to change a letter there. Warriors are not good warriors. As we worry, we don't focus on those around us. Who do we focus on? Ourselves. There's another phrase we like to use. Matter of fact, I say this. I hope no one raises their hand on this one. Anybody like warts? Thank you for not raising your hand. Yes. What's the word that we use? Worry wart. That's a real compliment. You know, I know there's medicine for, is it Preparation W? It's not prep. That's something else. There's medicine for warts, and I don't hear much about them anymore. Maybe it's very effective. But think about just the problem of worry. But we all have that. We all have that from time to time. Worry makes it really hard to focus on helping others. Peter gives us three exercises that we need to do to fight worry. We have apps. Some of you have an app on your phone, and every day it tells you, hey, do this many sit-ups, this many pull-ups, this many whatever, crunches, run half a mile. Jonathan says run 10 miles. And it's like, to stay in shape. What would the app say to stay in shape spiritually and not worry? Here we go. Three things. The first one, verse 7. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. It's the word cast. Cast. Cast all your anxiety on him. You probably heard that. I asked Jason, I said, man, you must have seen this message because the songs talk about that. When we praise him, it takes away the anxieties. We in Charleston, the first time I ever spoke here was about the word cast. We use the cast. As a typical youth pastor, I use C-A-S-T. Cast. C was, if I can remember this, looking back, C was the context of humility. A was God's amazing grace. S was having a sense of humor. And T is total trust in Jesus. And I was thinking through this and thinking of all the ways that cast is used in the Bible, do you realize the word cast is in the Bible 330 times? It's in 46 of the 66 books of the Bible. We know all about casting because of shrimping and fishing. Peter also did. He was a fisherman, casting the net. And that's what we need to do with our worries. Cast them out to Jesus. Cast them to Him. Why? Because He cares for you. That's huge. That's huge. Why does He care for us? Because we matter. You matter. Jesus says, you and I, we matter. And then secondly is to pray. Cast and then pray. That little app says, hey, don't forget to pray today. You know, prayer ought to be a constant thing, right? Look what it says in Philippians 4:6. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs and don't forget to thank Him for His answers. While God just said that, we have meditation, or I've got it backwards. We have medication for warts, but we have meditation for worry. There's meditation and thinking those deeper thoughts about what God has done for us, our prayers. Don't forget to write down when God answers your prayers. Many times God answers our prayers, and we've long forgotten that we even prayed it. Maybe have a journal that you keep track. Cast and pray, and then last one is hope. Hope. Colossians 3:2. Let heaven fill your thoughts. Don't spend your time worrying about things down here. And the King James, I believe, says, keep your eyes on things above. Look at things above, not all the things that we're dealing with here. Our God is a God of hope and a great future. And I challenge you to exchange those worrisome thoughts or difficulties and dangers in this world. Exchange them for the great gifts that God wants to give us. Hope and love and all those fruit of the Spirit, joy, peace. There's some things that we experience in that hope right now, and there's some things that we will experience when we go into heaven that we can't even imagine right now. You remember that word, significant? Remember that one, sign, if I can't? Something that we want to purchase, that we want with all our heart, but we can't afford it. But our significant other can help us. And guess what? Jesus is that one. He will sign because we can't. He signed it at the cross when He said, it is finished. It is paid in full. The debt has been removed from your sin and mine. We just receive that gift that He wants to give to us. That is the ultimate significant life. As we start serving, as we stay humble, as we stop worrying. Don't worry about heaven. That's taken care of. Put your trust in Him. If you've never done that, I challenge you today to say, hey, Lord, I'm a sinner. I've fallen short. I need You to save me. I trust You. I put my hope in You. Nothing I've done, nothing that I can do, but I trust in You. And maybe it's somebody that's never done that and you never prayed that prayer in your heart just to trust in Him. And the thing about that is with Jesus, He promises and says, when you pray that prayer and ask forgiveness of your sins and trust in Him, He will promise that you'll have a place in heaven. And we would always ask people that prayed that prayer, said, hey, if you die tonight in an accident, where are you going to wake up? Heaven. Heaven. Wow. Those last words, swing low, sweet chariot. Let's pray. Lord, today as we've thought about living a life that can touch others, we thank You for living a life that touched the entire world. We thank You for a life that saves each person who puts their trust in You. We thank You for that. Lord, we thank You for the many, many times that You come to our aid. You come to help us as we need it, as we begin to worry, we put our trust in you and you take it away. Help us to remain humble and not feel prideful in the fact that, hey, we can get to heaven on our own. And we know that's not the case. Lord, today as we think about serving you, help us to know that there's many, many places where we can serve you. Help us to begin that service, whatever it is, whatever gifts, talents you've given us. Help us to serve you. And we pray it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, thank you for the excitement that we feel here today. Lord, this retreat obviously has touched the lives of many. And help us to take the message today and out into the world. As we run into folks who are down about worry and just whatever's on their heart that's bringing them down, help us bring a joy that will lift them up and allow you to lift them up. Lift us up as well. In due time, Lord, we are ready for you to use us to serve you. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. Amen.